104.5 The Team, your home for New York Yankees baseball. And right now, thanks to our friends at Tech East Fire and Water Restoration, it's our buddy Buster. Only Buster, I'm starting to freak out a little bit about the Yankees. I'm not the calm guy I've been.
I thought you were going to be the leader of Camp Calm, that you were going to hold everything together for the postseason, that the last month you were just going to calmly prepare yourself for the wild card game, and from your perspective, the assumption that you'd win that wild card game, go on then and face the Red Sox, bulldoze them, win the World Series, and you'd be leading the parade. I thought that's what your plan was.
It was my plan, and then we were standing behind Gary Sanchez and got peppered with pitches because he can't block anything.
Wow. That was ugly, and I'd be very curious about, there's so many different parts of this that's interesting. The Yankees telling Gary Sanchez as he went on the disabled list, hey, get in better shape, and you guys see him. He looks great. He's dropped all this weight, and then he has a bad inning. And look, I was not standing there when Luis Severino was talking with the reporter, so I can't give you, an accurate reading of the context of what he said. But the indication that, he gave to reporters, well, I've been throwing Austin Romine, and this was a little different. There's no question Gary Sanchez has some stuff to work out. But I also, when I read those quotes, I'm like, dude, you've been bad for, 2 months. It doesn't have anything to do with your catcher. And I think after what we saw last night, I'd be more nervous about Luis Severino and whether or not he's going to be able to dig himself out mentally before the end of this year than I am about Gary Sanchez. And so it'll be very interesting to see how they line up the pitcher-catcher matchups moving forward.
So with the Severino issues, with Sanchez not being that good, with half the team that was out there last night not being on the roster to start the season, where is my panic level? Where should it be as a Yankee fan?
Oh, I don't think it should be any more than a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10 at this point, because we don't know yet what Aaron Judge is going to be. We don't know if Aroldis Chapman is going to come back, and presto, he's back to being what he was. There's still time for them to work out those issues. And if you look at the landscape of the American League, and look, I think you can make a really sound argument that the best 5 teams in baseball are all in the American League. All these teams are dealing with various issues. There's not really a perfect team right now, so the Yankees have time to sort through and get ready for that one-game playoff against Oakland. If they get through that, then we'll see if you'll go back into Camp Calm.
So, Buster, I was on vacation for a week, and Yankee fans popped out of bushes and dark alleys and yelled at me, the Yankees suck. And I said to them, it's only because how good the Red Sox are that you feel that way. Did I see the stat that the Red Sox are the first team this season in 487 attempts to come back from a 6 or more run deficit in the 8th inning?
That's exactly right. Oh. That's what happened in their game against the Braves yesterday. And, after Brandon Phillips in his first game with the Red Sox hits the home run that gives him the lead in his hometown in front of family, you had folks with the Red Sox organization saying they thought it was the best win of the year, and it's definitely a game that you circle. But I mentioned, we still don't know what Chris Sale's going to be. He's just going through his throwing program now. He's going to return to the rotation sometime next week. We'll see if he is able to hold up. We'll see what their bullpen is. I talked to Alex Speer of the Boston Globe from my podcast today, and he mentioned that all of the roles in front of Craig Kimbrell in the bullpen, they're all in a state of flux right now. They have some candidates who could fill in some gaps, but they've had a lot of guys kind of struggling. I know from talking with scouts about Craig Kimbrell, they see as time has gone on this season, he's losing command. And, we've talked in recent weeks about the front knee issues for pitchers, and Aroldis Chapman has it now. CC Sabathia deals with it. It took down Andrew Miller last year. Craig Kimbrell, you wonder how he's feeling, because certainly we're not seeing the Red Sox close with the command that we've seen.
Buster, only with us right now, 104.5 The Team, thanks to Tech East Fire and Water Restoration. Buster, I look around the league, and the one thing that does give me a little bit of a calm feeling with the Yankees is I feel like almost every bullpen doesn't look like it should.
Pretty much except for Oakland, right? I mean, Oakland has a staggering bullpen, and even I can't remember where I saw this headline today, but apparently there's some Oakland players are unhappy with how aggressively the front office, the manager, using the bullpen, but man, they have a lot of weapons. But if you look at the Astros, their situation is unsettled. If you look at the Cleveland Indians, Cody Allen, their closer, who was so great in 2016. He's had his struggles lately. Andrew Miller went on the DL with a shoulder impingement. The Yankees having some blips. I mentioned the Red Sox. It does seem remarkable that we're potentially going to go into the postseason with, you know, only one or two teams having bullpens that look like they're going to be locked down from the fifth, sixth inning on in an era in which teams are relying on their bullpens more than ever.
You touched on the Houston Astros there. It seems like that's the only compelling race in the American League, the AL West, between the A's and the Astros. But do you believe Houston may actually be vulnerable?
I do. And look, they're trying to become the first team since those late 90 Yankee teams to win back-to-back championships. And there's a lot to like about them. Alex Bregman right now might be the best player in the American League with how well he's playing. I think he's hitting like .446 over his last 17 games. He's going into Fenway Park this weekend looking to do damage. But Carlos Correa, their shortstop, is coming back from a back issue. He is not swinging with the explosiveness that we've seen in the past. And it might be a case of a young player who is just getting accustomed with those feelings and learning to trust his body again. George Springer badly injured his thumb. You can see with him that he's not necessarily letting go with his swing the way that he has in the past. That probably, a thumb injury for a hitter, is probably not going to heal up before we get to the postseason. Jose Altuve has a right knee problem, and for a right-handed hitter, that's the, you know, that's his base. That's the support that he has in his swing. He has not looked right at all since he came off the disabled list. I think as the three of us talk, he has one hit in his last 25 at-bats. Talked to him over the weekend. He talked about what a difficult season it has been for him. And look, he's still hitting .317, but he's not moving the way that we're accustomed to seeing him move. And those are three of the four most important players in that everyday lineup.
Also in the AL West, Shohei Ohtani. What is the future for him for the Angels?
Well, next week, Billy Epler, the general manager of the Angels, sit down with him and talk about what they're going to do moving forward. And Billy indicated on a conference call with reporters, and yeah, they'll plan, if in fact he has Tommy John surgery, they'll plan on his return as a pitcher. And that makes sense to me, guys, because the simple reality that Ohtani, by making the choice to come to Major League Baseball in 2018, he bypassed tens and many tens of millions of dollars that he could have signed for if he had just waited 2 years. But he decided he wanted to play here. And I think the Angels, because they're getting him close to minimum salary this year, I think they feel a sense of obligation to do what Ohtani wants to try to do, and that is to try to continue to be a two-way player. Now, I do think that if there's any kind of a setback, that there might be a conversation about whether or not this can continue. It's amazing to me that in 2018, 100 years to exactly after the Red Sox sort of struggle with the decision what to do with Babe Ruth, the Angels are having the same quandary with Shohei Ohtani and trying to answer the question, can you do both things? Because we've seen him be excellent as a hitter. We've seen him in his 10 pitching appearances have great moments. But the question that the Angels can't really answer is serving as a designated hitter somehow contributing to these arm issues that apparently are going to lead to a Tommy John surgery?
Buster, only with us right now. And Buster, the story that I feel like you and I are going to be complete polar opposites on is the D. Gordon situation. Like, I kind of love the idea of, hey, I'm going to nearby to leave the room for a minute. I got to throw hands with this guy and figure it out.
And it was really funny because I don't know if you guys have had a chance to meet D. Gordon. He's like one of the nicest players in baseball. He, you know, will come up, how are you doing, sir? He's very low-key, and I love Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times did a great job of describing what happened. D. Gordon walking up to reporters and saying, guys, can we have a few minutes, please? And punctuating it with that word, please. The doors close, and they just go to fighting. and it certainly brings back memories of scraps between teammates. The one that I heard about after the fact, it didn't happen in front of me the way it did with reporters the other day, but was when the Yankees were going through their heyday, the Dynasty Yankees. Jorge Posada was the catcher for El Duque, Orlando Hernandez. And Jorge told me that he felt like that El Duque was a better pitcher if he tried to get under his skin before a game, the way that one brother would try to get under the skin of another brother, pester him, bother him, get him angry, get him going. And so Jorge was doing that, apparently, in the athletic trainer's room. And I haven't asked El Duque this, and I'm going to this fall, but by all accounts, he grabbed either some scissors or some kind of a knife or something and was going at Posada. I think it escalated really quickly and beyond where Jorge thought it was going to go. But, you know, the sharp object was put away, and they continue to work together after that.
It's amazing they won as many games as they did. Buster, is like Jorge Posada, like he always had a serious brain for the game. Like, is he one of the players you look back on and go, I'm shocked he's not a manager?
Not necessarily. He made a lot of money. And you wonder about guys who, you know, have a lot of money if they really, that's a road they want to go down. Like, if you have your choice, if you don't have to work, do you actually want to do that? Maybe the best example of someone who clearly has passion for the game, Eric Chavez, the former third baseman for the Oakland Athletics, it looks like he's going to be the next manager of the Angels. They haven't made their choice yet. They haven't even started the process, but he was installed recently as the AAA manager for the Angels. When he got married, he married up into a family that apparently has billions of dollars. So Eric Chavez made over $100 million himself as a player, married someone, his wife apparently is worth far more than he is, and he's managing in AAA. I think we can say that for sure that Eric Chavez loves to manage.
That's crazy. Buster, where are you at this weekend?
We are in Fenway Park. We got the Astros and the Red Sox.
Do you now with the football season kicking off in just a couple hours, do you watch football before baseball season's over?
I got to be honest that over time my enthusiasm for football is on the wane because of the CTE issues. When I covered the Giants in 2002, I'd see a lot of the former players on the sideline who'd come back for practices, and I was absolutely shocked at how those guys were beaten up, which is why every time there's a labor situation, man, like this one with Le'Veon Bell, I'm rooting for him to get as much money as possible. And, you know, whatever, his teammates be damned. If that's what he feels like he wants to be paid to play a sport where you're going to take that much abuse, hats off to him.
Man, we love having Buster on, and you know, your waning enthusiasm towards football just gives you more time to be the baseball insider that we know and love.
I appreciate it, guys.
Buster, we'll talk to you next week.